This is Digital Story Podcast number 737, May 5th, 2020. Today's theme is, Has On One Figured Out the Connected Experience with 360? I'm Derek Story. On One 360 Degrees joins the ranks of Adobe and Apple for offering a connected desktop to mobile experience with tons of features and editing tools. On the surface, On One makes a very good argument. But we'll dig a little deeper on today's TVS podcast to determine if this is a service that you should seriously consider. I hope you enjoy the show. So starting this June, you can subscribe to a complete photo capture management editing sharing system that works on Mac OS, Windows, iOS, and Android devices. It's called On One 360 Degrees, and there's quite a bit to unpack with it. Before I even get into the new stuff, you know, On One has been building block by block a pretty good argument for being your photo management and editing solution. They've been working hard. The latest release, or the one that it wasn't too long ago, was Photo Raw. And it's very nice, and it rolls up a bunch of stuff they had been working on before. But now I really feel like they're pulling the whole thing together by adding this connected service, this cloud service, and very importantly, launching a mobile app. Okay, so you have the mobile apps for both iOS and Android. You have the desktop software for both Mac and Windows. And then you design a clever cloud-based system to sort of help you connect it all together with some pretty neat features I'm going to talk about. And then you do so at a competitive price. That's really what they're after here. That's their argument. And I have to say, there's a lot to it. There really is. Okay. The service automatically keeps track of photos that you choose to access from any of your devices. So that includes the metadata and where you want to store them. The desktop and the mobile apps share the same processing engine. And I think that's important because that enables non-destructive editing settings to remain in sync as well. So we've experienced this before, right? I mean, this isn't brand new. With Lightroom Creative Cloud, we can work on an image on our iPad and, you know, it gets saved back to Lightroom on our desktop computer. And Photos for Mac OS allows us to do the same thing. So it really isn't like this hasn't happened before. I think the real appeal for those that are going to love this will be in the details on how they do it and how much they charge you to do it. Right? And, you know, sooner or later, you know, we have to have the price discussion, right? And we're going to have it today as well. So let's start with some of the features. So you have all the powerful editing features of Photo Raw. And Photo Raw, their image editing application, has been evolving very nicely over the last number of months. So you have that, okay? And those of you that already have Photo Raw, what will happen in June is there'll be an update available to it that will allow it to connect to this cloud service, the On One 360 Degrees. Now you get to choose which photos to sync between devices. And this is somewhat similar to Lightroom Desktop that allows you to choose a folder, an album, a collection. I have to remember which app am I talking about? Collection allows you to choose a collection that you can share via Creative Cloud and then access it, you know, via your tablet or your phone. On One takes this approach too. So they don't take the all or nothing that, you know, everything that you're working on has to go into the cloud or anything like that. They want to give you as much flexibility as possible. Your original files, wherever they happen to be, they stay there. Okay, they stay in that location. So if your original files are on your desktop computer and you decide to share, you know, let's say an album of images, you know, through the cloud service to your mobile devices and to other computers, your originals don't travel up to the cloud. They stay on your computer. All right. So, and I think that's a pretty important feature. What On1 does is that it creates sort of a compressed raw file version of it and those that you choose to share. And that's what they upload to the cloud service. Now, their compression option is 4 times smaller, they say, than the raw file itself, but of very high quality. So in a sense, it's probably fair to say that it is a compressed raw file, and we're seeing Canon do this. We're seeing other folks do this. So, you know, this is something that we know works and that can be quite good. Here's a feature that is going to be competitive with this service. For one license, you get 5 desktop computers and 5 mobile devices. That's pretty strong. One of the walls that I slam into a lot with my Adobe Creative Cloud subscription, my photographer subscription that gives me Lightroom Mobile and so on and so forth, is that it's only for 2 machines. I regularly work with 3 machines, and so I find myself always having to disable one in order to enable the other and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. So, so this 5 machines, I like that. 5 machines is a nice uneven number that's perfect for probably most folks. 5 machines would work for me quite nicely. And then they give you a flexible pricing plan. What they want to do is, if you want to own the application itself, Photo Raw, you can do that. You can buy it. Or you can rent it and roll it into the cloud subscription, which is, you know, 360 degrees, is what they're calling it. So you have an option. So you can either, you know, just say, hey, I want to own the software, and then, you know, I'll subscribe to the cloud service as I need it or as I don't need it, or, you know, however you want to do that. You have a couple options within the cloud service. Or you can just say, hey, I just want to rent the whole kit and caboodle and, you know, just have them take care of everything. And the pricing depends on what you're going to do. And we're actually going to cover pricing in this segment. Now, I want to read you a little something from their site that explains what they're doing here, because I thought that the copy was pretty good and I thought it made a lot of sense. At least I understood it. Okay. On1 pulls off this magic by creating a temporary version of the photo under the hood, similar to a compressed RAW file, and storing it in the cloud. The photo maintains the tone and color of the original photo while using only about 25% of the cloud storage space a typical RAW file uses. For those who demand the full RAW file at all times and don't care about the storage space, uploading and editing the RAW photo itself is also an option. So you can go either way. However, I think to save money, most people will at least give this a try, this compressed RAW file approach. Now, as I mentioned before, your original photo files stay put right where you keep them. Your original photos can live on any of your devices, including external hard drives and file servers. Again, I think that's a pretty important point. You can choose to upload copies of your original photos to On1 360 degrees as well, if you need to access the full original file remotely. So there's a lot of options here. Right, you can keep the big files, the big RAWs, where they were on external hard drive. Let's say that you're using a reference file setup. So you like to have all your masters on an external drive plugged into your computer. And then let's say right now you're using Lightroom Desktop to access those. So all the files are sitting there on the hard drive, the masters, and then you have your Lightroom catalog, and, you know, off to the races you go. Well, you don't have to change that structure or that approach to use On1. All those images can stay there on that external hard drive. You can choose which albums would go up to the cloud. And then you can choose even if you want the compressed RAW files or the RAW files themselves, copies of the RAW files themselves, to go into the cloud. That part, I think, is pretty strong. having those options. Of course, as long as it isn't, you know, a total pain in the rear to do it, right? As long as it's fairly easy to use. My guess is that it will be. I've watched what I could and researched what I could about it, but I haven't actually got to test the software yet. Okay, so how much does this all cost? Because, you know, that part is important as well. So if you buy your own copy of Photo Raw for $50, then you have two cloud plans to choose from. One is a 200 gigabyte plan, and the other is a 1 terabyte plan. So the 1 terabyte plan is $110 a year, and the 200 gigabyte plan is $60 a year. Those are yearly payments. So you've invested $50 in Photo Raw, or you already have it. So then you can add on this service for $60 a year or $110 a year, depending on how much storage you need. Now, those plans include the mobile app also. So you get the mobile app with that and all the other things that we talked about. Another important point is that if you do the early bird right now, you can pre-order it right now, you won't be billed again for the annual plan until July of 2021. So they give you a little extra time there too, which I think is nice. So it's not going to be available till June, right? So you pre-order now, it's not available till June, and then they give you till July of the following year before you get dinged again on your annual service fee. Now, if you decide to rent Photo Raw, then the 200 gigabyte plan is $90 a year as opposed to $60 a year. So you pay $30 more to rent. And the 1 terabyte plan is $180 a year if you're renting Photo Raw. Okay. I have a feeling that a lot of people will probably buy the software for $50, right? Which you can get on sale right now for $50. And then, you know, if you want to take the 1 terabyte, add another $110 a year, and that puts you at $160, saves you $20 a year. Okay. It stacks up favorably. I looked at it compared to Lightroom, the Adobe Creative Cloud plan, and it does stack up fairly well. So I think that, you know, it really comes down to then, you know, which plan works best for you. So let's get to who is this for, right? Who is this for? And I think it could be appealing to photographers who don't already have a cloud connected workflow and they want one. Right, so if you're using Capture One Pro, if you're using Luminar, or if you're using DxO, you don't have that companion mobile app and you don't have everything connected together. So those folks might be interested in a plan like this. They don't necessarily want to go to Adobe, or they're not on the Mac platform, you know, so Photos and iCloud isn't available to them. So this could make sense for those folks. Also, artists who aren't satisfied with their current situation, whether it's Creative Cloud or iCloud, they may see On One as a fresh start, as a new way to have those features that they want, but using a different set of tools. So I think there are a couple groups there. Now, my bottom line is, however, that if you're happy with your current workflow, in other words, if you like your current Lightroom workflow, if you like your current Photos for Mac OS workflow, I don't recommend switching to On One 360 degrees. I just don't think that it's compelling enough to go through the pain of switching over if you're already happy, if you're not dissatisfied with what you're doing. However, for those folks that want a connected photo experience and they don't have one currently, I think this stacks up well against Creative Cloud, and I think it stacks up well against the iCloud solution. So it really depends on where you are and how happy you are with your current situation. One other thing I want to mention about this setup with On One is that the mobile app includes a very nice camera app that allows you to, you know, capture in RAW and do all that kind of stuff, and that it goes right into the system, the workflow. And so that might be fun to play with, and that might be worth investigating as well. It's all part of the service. So the bottom line is that, you know, On One has really, I think, pulled everything together now with this 360. It looks really good. I think it stacks up well against the competition. I'm dying to hear how folks, when it gets out into the wild, when actual users start using it, what they think about it. And I'll definitely follow up if I hear anything good there. Speaking of following up, I want to mention again that I have the new donation kit for carefree shipping of found film cameras. And the idea behind this is those of you who are still sheltered in place, which includes me, may have had some time to clean some closets, investigate under the bed, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you may have discovered a film camera or two that you think would be nice for the film camera shop, but you really don't feel like dealing with the post office or UPS or any of that stuff right now, because everyday life outside of your house has just got too many hassles, okay? So I came up with a donation kit, which essentially is that you start out the process the way that you always would, which is you go to thenimblephotographer.com, clicked on contact form, and you know there's a box there that you want to make a donation to the film camera shop. You let me know what you have, and then I'll get back to you. And if it's something that we can use, if it's something that I can fix or refurbish, the difference is now I will send you the donation kit, which includes the box ready to go, USPS box, which includes the label that sends it back to me, which includes a little bit of packing bubble. And then all you really need is tape. You just tape up the box, put the camera inside the box, put the label on it, and then you just go to USPS.com, schedule a pickup at your front door. It's really, really easy. They pick it up when they deliver your mail. You probably know about when that is, so you put it out a little bit before, and then they deliver your mail, they pick up the donation, and off it goes to me. I've already sent out some donation kits this week, and it's been fun talking to people about them. I think it's an easy way to do this if you want to do this. If you're interested in helping support this podcast through the Film Camera Shop, if you're interested in sharing your unused analog cameras with people who would just love to have them, I think this is a good way to go, and I hope to hear from you. The new MacBook Pro 13-inch looks great for photographers. So this just got announced today on Monday when I record the podcast, their new 13-inch MacBook Pro. This is what I've been waiting for. Now, the new 15-inch has already been announced, but personally, I like the 13-inch a little bit better. I think it's a little bit more portable, and the screens are so good that I do just fine doing my work on it. And I was really curious to see what the specs were going to be on this new machine and what the pricing is going to be. So I'm going to go over the machine that I think makes the most sense for photographers. And that version has the Intel Core i5 quad-core processor, right, which is very nice, 8 gigabytes of RAM, onboard RAM, and then the 512 gigabyte SSD. So that's the model that I'm talking about right now. It's not the cheapest one, but it's only one up from the cheapest one. By the way, this laptop that I'm talking about, brand new, is $1,499. It seems like I paid that much or more for my existing 13-inch, which, by the way, I bought in early 2014. Early 2014, and it's still working. I need to upgrade it. This one might be the machine that I do if I can get the scratch together to do it. But they are good investments. Seriously, they are good investments. They go and go and go. So what makes this new one kind of cool? Well, it has a number of highlights. First of all, this one has the new Magic Keyboard that has the redesigned scissor mechanism. So that part, I think alone, the keyboard on these new ones is the good keyboard, not the one that had some problems a couple years ago. Very nice Retina display. They made the stereo sound better, and they have these immersive stereo speakers, and the battery life is a bit better too. Now, this one also has the touch bar, which is very nice. The touch bar itself is actually a Retina display as well. And it's contextual. It depends on, you know, which app you're running as to, you know, what options are there on it. It sort of adapts depending on what you're doing at the moment. And it really makes it easier to navigate menus and things like that. The power button has the touch ID sensor, so you can quickly log in to the MacBook Pro just by, you know, putting your finger on there as a fingerprint. And then you can also use Touch ID to make purchases over the web if you have Apple Pay. So that's another very nice feature. So as I mentioned before, the model that I like is the $1,499 model, 1.4 gigahertz, 8th generation Intel Core i5 quad-core processor with a burst speed up to 3.9 gigahertz. And then it also has the 8 gigabytes of RAM and the 512 gigabyte SSD. Alrighty. Now, in terms of supporting external devices, it's got Thunderbolt 3 ports supporting bi-directional transfer speeds of up to 40 gigabytes a second, while also supporting 10 gigabytes per second USB 3.1 and device charging. It's got Wi-Fi 5. 802.11ac built in for wireless networking, Bluetooth 5.0, which will allow you to connect additional compatible peripherals, and there is a FaceTime HD webcam. It's a nice looking machine, comes in space gray or silver. I've always kind of wanted the space gray version of a MacBook. I don't know. We'll see. This is the most tempted I've been to upgrade my 2014 13-inch. And we'll just see how things go. I'm posting, of course, the podcast on Facebook. If you have any comments about this machine or if you're tempted to upgrade to it, post a comment and let me know what you're thinking. We're well underway and having a great time for our Digitizing Family Memories course, which is available online. People are signing up still. There's no problem. You didn't have to start at the very beginning. If you sign up right now, then I bring you up to speed. Actually, if you sign up today, then you will get class 1, class 2, class 3, and the class notes for all of those. So you get everything right there, and then you'll get the fourth class this coming Sunday when I release the fourth class. So anytime that you sign up, you know, I bring you up to speed and then you're right in there. You can comment, you can read other people's comments, you can watch the movies, you can get going. If you're interested in this, all you have to do is go to the workshops page on the Nimble Photographer. I have links to it in the show notes. By the way, I have links to the MacBook Pro in the show notes. I have links to just about everything I talk about in the show notes. It's worth your time to go over there. But we're having a great time with this course, Digitizing Family Memories. I like the conversation. I like the workflow. I'm enjoying creating the movies. It's really a blast. And what a nice thing to come away with after this period that we've been, you know, sheltered in place, to come away with making headway on a project that you've probably been procrastinating on for years. All right, just a little virtual camera club business. First of all, I want to thank our Patreon members, our Inner Circle members. We got some more new signups this week. Welcome, new members. So happy to have you here. These are the folks that support this podcast and really the entire community month in and month out. Thank you, Patreon members. I hope you're enjoying the Digitizing Family Memories, those of you that are a part of it. And I hope you feel as good as I do about having you as part of our inner circle. And finally, I want to give a big thank you to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of Digital Story. If you want to do some printing right now, now is a great time to do it. And Red River Paper has everything that you need. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. Not only can you get your paper there, not only can you get your ink there for Canon and Epson printers, but you can get tutorials and reviews, glassine sleeves, envelopes. It is inkjet printing heaven right there just by clicking on that one tile. And they also have an excellent Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I'm so happy that you joined me. I hope you're doing well and hanging in there. I'll keep coming up with new things for you to do. Come back and join me next Tuesday. Until then, be safe and have a great week. Bye-bye now.